Amen. Amen. So we are in the midst of a series that we call The North Way. And so we're really excited about it, just kind of going ahead and demonstrating why we believe God has put this body of believers on the corner of North Way and 4 Mile. And I want to begin this morning with a quote so from Andrew Wyeth. It says this: "Most artists look for something fresh to paint. Frankly, I find that quite boring. For me, it is much more exciting to find fresh meaning in something familiar." And so here's the thing, and this isn't going to be a newsflash to anybody, but Jesus is kind of familiar, right? Most of us have been going to church a large portion of our life, and what I found out that a lot of times the church isn't honest, the Christians aren't honest, that we have gone to church a long time, but very few of us have had a real experience with Jesus. And so what I've been thinking about and praying about and what I believe God has revealed to me and to the leadership of our church is that we need to create an experience that we desire that everyone have that God has designed for them. And so we've come up with three words. The North Way is that we want everyone to encounter Jesus. That we want everyone in our church, everyone in our community to encounter Jesus. And we spent the last 3 weeks looking at three unique encounters with Jesus. And if you weren't here for any of those weeks, I would encourage you, not just because I preached the messages, but I encourage you to go back and watch those messages because they are really key to who we are and who we want to become and what we want people to experience. We believe that when you encounter Jesus, things change. And so if we want change in our life, if we want things to be different than they are, we need to encounter Jesus. And so that was the last week. Today, we're moving on to the bottom of our kind of circle there, and it's the engage with Jesus. And then next week, we're going to talk about being empowered for Jesus. And so let me tell you this. So often as churches and as pastors, we want to grow because we want to be big. I want you to know that is not our mission. Our mission is not to be a big church. Our mission and our vision is not to be a big church. We desire that people first encounter Jesus, and then secondly, we want to help people dig in. We want people to grow roots to their faith decision, their encounter experience with Jesus. We want to become disciples. We want it to be go beyond an encounter because we believe that an encounter is momentary. Engaging is a lifetime. Amen? And so when you encounter Jesus, it is really momentary. It's a place in time where you encounter Jesus. You felt Jesus. You had an experience with Jesus. But when we talk about becoming a disciple, when we talk about engaging with Jesus, we realize that it's much more than a moment. And so if it's okay with you today, and this may not be popular, I really want to teach as opposed to preach today. And so it may seem a little bit more on the boring factor, but I think this is important stuff. And so if you aren't sleeping yet, here is the punchline. I'm starting to give the punchline early every week. I don't know why. But here's the punchline. So if you fall asleep, at least you know you got something out of the message. Here it is. It says, engaging with Jesus is the evidence and product of an authentic encounter with Jesus. So if you had an encounter with Jesus, the way we'll know you had an encounter with Jesus is that you will begin to engage with Jesus. You'll begin to dig in to Him. And that's exactly what David read. Acts chapter 2 is after these people began to believe. After they've had an encounter with Jesus, they've heard the disciples preaching, and 3,000 people have had an encounter with Jesus. The church is being created. They've heard it, they've received it, they've confessed it, they've been baptized. The Holy Spirit has come, and they have the power to live out this new church. And so what's the next step? And so we see Luke, who wrote Acts, gives us a snapshot of this early church. And it's 6 verses. And so if we walk through these six verses, we're going to be able to see what the next step is after having an encounter with Jesus. After coming and saying, sorry for what I've done wrong. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please come into my life and make me new. What do you do next? That's engaging with Jesus. And so we see this infant church. You think, what's our church, 75, 100 years old? This church is about 75 days old. So the first church is about 75 days old. They haven't had enough time to create traditions and sacred cows. They haven't had enough time to have a church fight about, well, we don't do it that way, or we used to do it this way. It's only been 75 days. And so there is this no additives, only the essentials type of church. And see, the apostles, the disciples, had already begun to fulfill what Jesus told them to do. If you remember, Matthew 28:19 says, go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's what they're doing. So people are starting to learn from the disciples. The disciples are going out and they're telling the Jesus story. People are starting to believe. And now they're setting up this church of how do we live out this Jesus thing? How do we grow roots in our experience with Jesus? And if we're honest, I don't know how deep my roots are. Do you know how deep your roots are? And so, church, I want to help all of us not just encounter Jesus. I want all of us to engage with Jesus. And so the way we see the scriptures laid out is in this first couple of words of verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves. Those first three words are really, really important. They devoted themselves. They continued to be devoted, ongoing over and over, again and again, in intense effort. They had a single-minded fidelity. They knew exactly what they wanted to be focused on. They were going to put everything else aside. They continued to be devoted to. We don't know what they're devoted to, but this is going to be the one thing that they're going to be focused on, the one track they're going to ride on. And he says, listen, they continue to be devoted, empowered by the Holy Spirit, certainly, but this was not a casual, passive, half-hearted, every once in a while experience. Amen? That Jesus was calling the disciples to something beyond casual. He was calling them beyond something half-hearted or passive or every once in a while or when it was convenient. I mean, come on, help me not pray for bad weather on Sundays, right? It's like, well, Lord, if the weather's bad, people will come to church. No, that's not why we're going to grow our church and make sure the weather's bad so people don't have other options. We want to be a church that people want to be a part of, that they want to be devoted to. And so how do they do that? And believe it or not, I hate lists. I think it's a terrible way to teach, and it's a horrible way to preach. But I'm about to give you a list of eight things. Like, are you kidding me? I was writing this, and I'm thinking, are you sure, Lord? So yeah, literally, let's bore each other, but follow me on this. I want to tell you, because I think this is so, so very important. If we're going to have an encounter with Jesus and then engage with Jesus, what does it mean to engage with Jesus? And all of these things I'm going to tell you are straight from the Bible. They're straight from the church. They're straight from where Jesus had just been. The first thing that we see engagement is that the church was learning. They were focused on the apostles' teaching. They were focused on what the disciples were saying. It tells us in 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. What it's saying there is there an encounter is great, but I've got more for you. That to have a baby, or for a baby to be born, is great, but to leave it alone and do nothing else with it is neglect. And so as a church, we can't have people come to faith in Jesus Christ and come to the cross and say, sorry, thank you, please, and then walk away from them. Jesus has more for them. He says, listen, I want you to grow up and I'm going to give you spiritual milk. And you're going to be able to develop and you're going to be able to grow and you're going to be able to mature. And church, that's what we're required to do as a church. We're called to mature. We're called to grow. We're called to deepen our roots. And so there's foundational teaching. There's substance. This is what's in order to grow deeper and in depth to occur, maturity to develop, rootedness to take hold of. It's the teaching of the Bible. It's the teaching of Jesus. So to be engaged means we're learning as a church. Number two, to be engaged is that we do it together. Now, how many of us when we, now you don't have to be honest, you can lie. How many of us when David read that scripture got real nervous when they said, well, they had everything in common and they sold their possessions and gave to people as they had need. Oh my gosh, it's promoting communism, socialism. I'm not voting for that person. They're socialist, right? That's not what this is talking about. That is not what this is talking about. The difference between socialization, I'm not talking about socialism. Drop that off. I'm talking about just socializing with somebody and fellowshipping with somebody. You know what the difference is? To just go out and hang out with somebody and to fellowship with somebody, there's a huge difference. So you socialize with these people, but you fellowship with these people. And it's a very clear distinction, the difference. The difference between just socializing with somebody and fellowshipping with somebody is that this is focused around Jesus and the Holy Spirit is part. This is just, hey, we like to hang out. We like each other, right? Our wives get along, right? Or we like the same sport. But this whole idea of fellowship is because Jesus is the center. That's why we get together. That's a large part of why we have church. Is because there's something that happens about getting together and not just being alone. Amen? There's something beneficial by just getting together. And so we realize that we're not just called to socialize. We're called to be together in fellowship, a unity of mission, mutual affection and conversation. That there's a reason why we get together. We're not just a social club. We're called to be together on purpose. We're called to be partners, which involves participation. Listen, if the church is going to be healthy, we have to all be participating. There is no room for spectators in the church. That's actually not what we're called to do. And that's one of the things I like least about Sunday morning, because there's one person talking and 100 people listening. So it promotes this idea that we're just consumers at church. And that's so opposite of what Jesus designed the church to be. We're called to be together. We're called to participate. And we're called to partner together to see His kingdom come and His will be done. Thirdly, engagement is that we have all things in common. I just skipped over. The first one was learning. The second one was together. The third one is all things in common. Since I messed it up, I'll go real quick through this one. Because this is an easy one. The reason why they could have all things in common was because they held on to their possessions very loosely. See, all of us in this room have something in common. We're all in the 1%. Did you know that? We are all in the top 1% wealthiest people in the world. Every single one. I don't even know what your W-2 says, but I guarantee that you are in the top 1% wealthiest person in the world. If you got to church in a vehicle today, you automatically are in the 1%. And so when we are in the top 1%, we get a little defensive when people start talking about our property and our possessions. But here's the thing. This is one of the things that was most beautiful about the early church, is that it's not that they just gave it all up and threw it in a pool or redistributed it so that everybody had everything equal. No, listen, everybody held on to their possessions. Nobody just threw it into a pot and so you get five, I get five, he gets five. No, no, that's not what they're talking about. They're just saying, listen, I have this stuff and I hold on to it loosely enough that if I see that you have a need, I don't have such a tight grip on it that I won't help you. And so, church, there's something to be learned there. Because if we hold on loosely to our possessions and our property, we demonstrate that they're not our Lord. That we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and that whatever can benefit His kingdom and His purposes and to help His people, we're willing to do that. Amen? Oh, see, the amens are getting a little bit lighter now. We're not really liking this. This is the truth, though. This is the truth. When we want to engage with Jesus, we learn, we fellowship together, and we have things in common. And what that means is that we hold on to our things and our possessions loosely. Now, you still have possession of them. Nobody's saying you got to give them up. We just are sensitive and aware that we hold on to them loosely. And church, this is not a divine command. This is not one of the Ten Commandments. It's not, listen, we have to have everything in common, sell all your property, commandment number 11. Right? No, this is not a divine command because there's no further reference about it in the Bible. It's not a have to, church, it's a want to. Amen? It's because I want to be a part of what God is doing. I learned generosity from God's relationship with me, and so then I can go out and be generous with other people. How can I not be generous? I've got to be one of the most generous people in the world because I have been the recipient of more generosity than I could ever express to you. People have been so generous to me, and how dare I hold tightly to what I have and not share it with someone else. It's about being open-hearted and open-handed, having a mutual love. Yes, it is a call for sacrifice. Yes, it's a readiness to help, but it's not a have to, it's a want to. Because now the Lord has given me spiritual eyes to see in the light of eternity. Amen? That we begin to see that things are growing strangely dim. These things of earth are growing strangely dim. I'm beginning to see that something more than just here and now matters. See, this is demonstrated in a different way in 1 Corinthians 12:12. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. Nobody gets upset that if you have one part of your body failing, that another part comes and helps with it. Amen, right? Like if one part of your body is struggling and another part has to work a little harder for that period of time, nobody's upset about that because it's maintaining the health of the body. The same is true when we talk about generosity. It's an organic oneness, not an organized oneness. It's spontaneous. It's not something that's all planned out. And so, church, if we're going to engage with Jesus like the early church, the first church, the Acts 2 church did, there has to be some level of togetherness and support and generosity. So if we look at the rest of this passage and going a little bit more quickly, what we see in this passage is that these men and women that began the first church, they understood being engaged with Jesus about being prayerful and worshiping and breaking bread. That there was this idea of a vertical relationship with God. So church, everything about being engaged with Jesus is this vertical relationship with God. Remembering, like we'll do today, remembering what Jesus did for us. And so, church, we need to be prayerful. We need to be worshiping. We need to be breaking bread. That's part of being engaged. Number five, engagement is people begin to sense God is doing something on a regular basis. One of the things that we know that this church was powerful and strong was that other people started noticing it. And how many of you have said at one point or another about your experience in Northway, man, there's something about that place. There's something about being there. There's something that's happening there. There's something I haven't seen in a while. There's something that's a sign that God is at work. Amen. God is doing it, and we can begin to see it, and that begins to see that, listen, we're being engaged. If you begin to see that God is up to something, you're engaging with Jesus. Another thing we see is they were engagement meant they were frequently meeting. Not one day, not one hit, not one hope kind of experience. It wasn't about meeting the required or expected attendance. Everybody wanted to be together. There wasn't a, listen, I gotta go to small group or I gotta go to church. It wasn't a mandatory thing. It was a desire. They met every day, it says in the scriptures. Another thing about engagement is that there was a gladness and a sincerity and a favor appreciation. Church, I know that there are problems in churches. As soon as people show up, you've got problems, right? The church, I had a guy, always kind of a grumpy guy in one of my churches, and he was like, man, I love church. It's the people I don't like. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of stupid. But church, we know. And see, the thing, here's the thing. We don't have to think about this stuff. Northway Community Church is already experiencing. There is a joy that you can't describe. There is a sincerity about what we're doing that can't be described. There's a favor appreciation that God's favor seems to be resting on Northway that we can't describe. That means God's up to something. The final thing that it says, and I believe that has to do with engagement, is that the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. So before we think that this all is up to us, we better be reminded of what Psalm 127:1 says. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Church, we need to realize that if we think it's up to us, we're in trouble. And so we need to engage with Jesus because that's the one who's making it happen. That's the one who's making it happen. There's no other way, regardless of what we think or what we think we see. God is making it happen. So I need to make a confession to you this morning. I've been a pastor for 16 years. That's wrong. I've been a pastor for, maybe I've only been a pastor for 16 years. I feel like I've been a pastor for 20, but I wrote down 16. I don't know why I said wrote that down. I've been a Christian for 24, and who knows how long I've been a pastor. But I realized a couple years ago that I didn't know how to make disciples. That's all we're commanded to do in the scriptures is go and make disciples. And I didn't know how to make disciples. I had never been in a church that made disciples. I didn't know what that meant. I had gone years and years and years and years and years not seeing someone come to faith in Jesus Christ in my church. I didn't know what it looked like until I learned and I sought the Lord about what it means to make a disciple, to engage, to help people engage with Jesus. And so, church, that's really what is behind the heart of this engage, this third, the second piece. There's encounter, and then there's engage. The engage part of the three E's is this idea of helping people become rooted in Jesus. And what we believe and how we believe people can get rooted in Jesus is by being part of a small group. Now, I know that it's a second opportunity. So you were going to say it's like a second requirement, but it's a second opportunity to be in fellowship and to be together. But church, I believe in order for us to engage with Jesus, we need to go a little bit deeper. And I think we need to be in a smaller group because it looks like that's what they did in Acts chapter 2. And that's what we need to do today. To be a rooted church, I think we need to do three things. We need to faithfully teach the Bible and relate it to where we live. We need to be warm, loving, and caring, and supportive in fellowship. And we need to be compassionate in outreach. That's what it means to engage with Jesus. That describes what our house church small groups are meant to do. Because I don't know about how many churches you've been a part of, but I've been a part of a few where it was about dressing up instead of being real and authentic. My wife asks me every week, are you going to wear jeans to church this week? And so today I chose to do it because it's not about my brown, tan khakis I wear every single week. I rotate blue khakis and tan khakis every week. Did you notice that? Every other week. See, everyone's shaking their head. See? I wear tan one week, blue the next week. Tan one week, blue the next. Like, it's not about that. And I wanted to model that for you. The first year, it's not about how I dress as your pastor, right? And so I wanted to just say, listen, I'm not going to get overly crazy. Like, I got goofy hair. Like, it needs to be cut like 6 months ago. Oh, I'm getting mighty amens through that. I'm going through a phase. Church, it's not about dressing up, right? It's not about dressing up. It's about being real and authentic. It's not about it being a drag. It's about being a contagious community. That's what we want to be at Northway. We don't want you to come to church and it be a drag, but you're certainly not going to invite anybody else to come to the drag, right? But we want it to be a contagious community, and it's not about how good I can be on Sunday morning to make it contagious. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about what God's doing in this place, and we believe that we're on the verge of being contagious. And so it's not a drag, it's contagious. It's not about us being strangers. It's about becoming a faith family. So I read a story, and maybe you've heard this story before, but there was a Christian, a young Christian. I'm closing up, so I'm bringing it in for a landing. There was this young Christian who found all kinds of things wrong with his church. He couldn't stand his church. And so he was going over to one of the mature Christians in the church's house, and he was going over there to just explain and complain everything about the church that he didn't like, just to make himself feel better and to justify why he didn't have to go to church anymore. And so as he went over on this cold winter night, the man was in front of his fire, and they were sitting in front of the fire, and the wiser man was just sitting listening and being a good listener to the young man who was just complaining and grouchy and complaining. And all of a sudden, the wiser man took the tongs and he pulled out a really hot ember out of the fire. And he set it down on the hearse. I think that's what it's called. Let's just call it the stone counter. And he let the guy keep talking. And keep talking. And while he's kept talking. And kept talking. That hot fiery ember began to dull and dim. And eventually it turned black. Without speaking, he took that dark, cold ember and he put it back into the fire. And within seconds, it was burning bright again. the man who was wise and older didn't say a word. And the young man got up and said, I'll see you in church on Sunday. Church, we need each other. That's why God has called us together. And so, if you allow me in the first 60 sermons, we'll call this the first boring sermon. But it's so important what we have to say today. We are desperately needing to engage with Jesus. We need to put down roots. And so, yes, I, as your pastor, am encouraging you to take your insert and prayerfully consider being a part of one of these groups. Now, pastor, you know, now listen, you don't know me very well. We don't really get involved like that. We don't really, we like Sunday mornings. We like the thing. We like the Panera. We like the da-da-da-da-da, right? We don't really do the week thing. We're just kind of, you know, come on now. Listen, I'm telling you, the experience that God wants us to have at North Bay Community Church is that we encounter Jesus and we each and every one of us engage with Jesus. And I think we can engage together better in small groups. And so I'm encouraging you over the next couple of weeks to prayerfully consider being a part of one of these groups. If you don't see a group or a time on here, a day or a time that works for you, let me know. We'll work it out. We'll figure it out. I'll lead six groups if I have to. I'll come and we'll do one-on-one. I don't care. We'll get a group. But I feel like what we want to do is we want application. Have I told you the story about constipated Christians? You better shake your head yes or it's going to get ugly. All right, fine. I'll tell you it anyways then. All right, so I am convinced. You said you didn't know, so I'm going to tell you. I'm convinced that most of the American church is constipated. All they've done is sat in church for years and years and years and years and received an input and input and input and input and input, and they haven't had any outflow. They're constipated. You get it? Wow, a little slow crowd here. Church, we need to have outflow. We need to be taking what we're learning and applying it in our life. Taking what we're learning and wrestling with it and discussing it. And so the content of these house churches is my sermon. So on a Sunday morning, I'm going to share the message. And then in your house church that week, there are going to be questions that you're going to be able to wrestle with the message. And they're going to be designed in such a way to encourage all of us to apply the scriptures. And if there's something you don't understand, or something that you disagree with from the message, you're going to have an opportunity in a safe place to disagree with it and say, I don't understand what Pastor meant, or I don't agree with Pastor. And there's going to be someone who's going to be there who's going to love you enough to listen to what you have to say. We're not trying to be right here. We're just trying to grow disciples. And so this series has been meant and designed to help all of us see the need to encounter Jesus and then now engage with Jesus. And so I feel like there are people in this sanctuary right now who have not yet said yes to Jesus, have not yet encountered Jesus. And that's a great thing. We want to constantly, every week, have people that haven't said yes to Jesus yet. Because if not, we become the choir, right? Everybody knows, and I'm just preaching to the choir. So if we aren't inviting people that don't and haven't yet said yes to Jesus, we're not going to have anyone encountering Jesus. So there's people that we believe have not yet said yes, have not yet said yes to Jesus. And then I believe there are a group of us here that have said yes to Jesus, but have not yet gone past the starting line. That our roots are very small. And that's nothing to be criticized. That's nothing to get excited about. It's simply something to address. And we're going to do that by small groups. And then there's a group of us here that have said yes to Jesus. However, we have not yet fully experienced what God has best for each one of us. And that's this idea of being empowered for Jesus that we're going to talk about next week. So let me encourage you. three things in response this week. These silly cards that are very well done, I want you to take these this week and invite somebody for September 15th. We're starting a brand new sermon series called Pressure Points on September 15th, and we are really, really excited about this series. God's plan when the pressure's on. All of us are under pressure, amen? But God has a way that we do not have to retreat when the pressure's on. We can advance and be victorious when the pressure's on. And so we want to invite people that have not yet encountered Jesus to come. And they're going to get a free voucher for lunch afterwards, after church. Right out there in the circle is going to be two and a half food trucks that we're going to be able to have lunch together. And if you invite a visitor, they're going to get a voucher that day for a free lunch. So there's not going to be any expense to them. We're going to pay. The church is going to pay for that. Chuck's wondering how we're going to do that, but I'll explain it to him later. We want to have a really large attendance on the 15th. Not because we want to be big, because we want people to encounter Jesus. So that's the first thing. I challenge you to join me in passing out these two cards to someone this week. Secondly, prayerfully consider joining a house church. I'm going to leave it at that because I think that we need to make that decision ourselves. And then thirdly, I want each and every one of us this morning to come forward. And I want you to receive the bread and the juice. And what this means yes to Jesus. If you believe that Jesus Christ came to earth to be crucified for your sins, so that you could be forgiven, that's saying yes to Jesus. If you believe that you have done something wrong, if you believe that you're not perfect, if you believe that there is something that you hope nobody ever finds out about, we call that sin. Anything in your life that is short of perfection, the Bible calls it sin. And so there's the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Amen? That's what it says. The wages of sin is death. So if we stay in our sin, we die. You heard that thing, right? If you're only born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, you only have to die once. Amen? We're all born and we all die. The choice is, will you be born twice or will you die twice? If we're born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, that's what this is. Jesus died so that we could live. If we say yes to Jesus, then we are born again. And we only will physically die. We will spiritually live forever. Amen? And so what I challenge everyone in the room to do today is to receive the bread and the cup and say, Jesus, I am sorry for what I've done wrong. I recognize that I've messed up. Thank you for providing a way out of my sin. Please come into my life and make me sorry. Thank you. If we're going to put that into a physical act, it would be taking the bread, drinking the cup. Sorry. Thank you. Please. If you're here today and you have never said sorry, thank you, please, this is why this church exists. And I didn't even ask anybody if that's true or not, because I know it is. We are here for people to encounter Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for us. So the worship team is going to come back, and I'm going to serve them communion. And as they're coming, they can take communion on the way up. And I want you to just begin to prepare your hearts for communion, what this means to you. Are you here today and you know Jesus? And you just need to recommit and say, Lord, I recognize that maybe there have been times where I've just kind of fallen away and shaded away, and I want to renew my commitment to you. That's by taking these elements and partaking of them, you realize that listen, I wanna live new. I wanna get back and in fellowship with Jesus. But maybe you're here today, you've never ever said, truly said, sorry, thank you, please. today could be that first day, and we believe that you will be born again. And that God has a beautiful design for your life. And you can begin to get roots down deep and learn and fellowship and be generous and have favor and be joyful and see God add to the number of his church daily, those who are being saved. Church, we want people to encounter Jesus. We want people to engage with Jesus. This is where we meet Jesus. Amen? Amen. Come forward. We come through the aisles, and we kind of just do this little trick when we go back. But come forward and receive the cup and the bread. You don't have to wait for anybody to take it. You can take it and receive it here. You can remain up here if you'd like, or go back to your seat. You can stand. You can sit. You don't have to be a member of Northway Community Church to receive. We just believe you have to say yes to Jesus. Because if you haven't said yes to Jesus, this isn't going to fill you up. It's not going to be lunch, because that's all it is. It is a piece of bread and an inch of juice. It has to have some sort of spiritual meaning for you. Amen?